Everybody having a good day? Did you get blown in? Anybody? Man, it sure got windy out there. I tell you, I'm sitting here. I got here early this morning. I did set my clock, so I wasn't here because I didn't set my clock. But I did get here early this morning, and I kept looking out, and I seen dust blowing over at the park. And man, it's like, where did this wind come from? But I'm glad we're at the halfway point of our 40-day study. Just in case you didn't know, we're at the halfway point. This is week number 4. We're kind of getting up over the hill here. I've been excited about this study. I can't wait till we had an individual that took some of our material to Mexico. And I can't wait for her to get back to here if she was able to get the group going and see what kind of opportunities she had. And we had another group that just started this morning at 8. And I delivered some material to Sacramento so that they could get into a study up there. I'm just really excited about what God is doing. I'm praying you're having a great experience with it. And I want to encourage you. I've heard some great stories. But if you open your worship folder up, you'll see my email address in there. I want you to email me what God is doing through this study. I want some of you to say, this is what I've learned, or this is something that God's blessed me with, or this is something that's very meaningful to me. I want to hear from you, and I want to hear what God is doing through this, because I really believe, I mean, right off the bat, when I read that first week's study, it was like I really needed to hear that at that point in my life. There was just something about that study that really spoke to me that first week. And I really enjoyed it. So I want to hear from you. Take a few minutes as you get home and as you look over this week's lesson to kind of drop me a little note. Just email me. Just say, hey, Gary, da-da-da-da-da. It doesn't be long. It could be a sentence. It might be 3 or 4. But I want to hear what you're saying. Because if you remember, we're kind of like, you know, the 5 purposes of our lives. That God created you. That you're not here by an accident. That God formed you, he breathed in you to the nostrils of life, and I believe everybody is breathed in by God and is a gift from God, that every individual is a gift from God, and that God wanted us to experience something before we ever give him something, that we were created by God to be loved, that it's not what God asked from you, it's what God wants to give you, and God wants to love you, and God wants to share with you. And so we begin by understanding that you're just loved. Can you just be loved? Are you willing to let God love you? And then we went into week 2 of these purposes, and we looked at this idea that we belong. That after you feel you're loved, you can begin to belong. That there's a place for you, that you fit in. That there's not just a purpose for your life, but you have this feeling of belonging. You ever been in a family? Maybe it's your own family. You feel like you don't belong. And maybe you feel like me. You know, just so you understand, I'm kind of the outsider in my family. Anybody in that boat besides me? You know, I had two other brothers. One of my brothers passed away, but I got a brother or a sister. You know, and I'm kind of the outsider. Last year, they had an Easter party at my mom and dad's house. I didn't know. I didn't get invited. Anybody? You know, you feel like I really belong to that family. They didn't even invite me to Easter, you know. And you know, but in a church, and this is what I want. I want this church, and that you have this feeling of belonging, that this is a place for me. That I really belong, I really fit in. That's what God wants. He created the church. And we talk about small groups, this feeling of belonging. But after you be loved and after you belong, you need to become something. See, God formed you to become something. God formed you to become somebody special, to become somebody unique, to become somebody that he has designed. Even before you were born, he had designed in you. And that's what we want to look at this morning. If you're looking at your outline, I'm going to encourage you to get it out, is that we are called to become. And they kind of build on one another. You really can't become until you know you belong. You can't belong until you know you're loved. And so I want us to kind of think along those lines that God has called us to become something. That you're not just passing through this world. That you're not just some accident that happened over here. That God loved you. He formed you. You belong to his family. And now you need to become something. I want you to look at the scripture with me that's in your outline there. We know, now just so you get an idea, we've read this verse several times. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a hint. Part of these, what we're reading right now, will be your memory verse. How you guys doing on your memory verse? Kind of a sidetrack here. Can I kind of chase a rabbit? How you doing on your memory verse? Not everybody's jumping up and down saying, we got it. I want to encourage you. Hang in there. And I struggle too, all right? I'll confess, I struggle too. We know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called. Remember, that's what we're talking about, that God has called you to these 5 purposes, called you to be loved, called you to belong, and today called you according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance. And he chose them to become, why don't you circle that word become right now, like his son. So that his son would be the firstborn and many with many brothers and sisters. That God had an image that he wanted you to become. We need to become like his son. What was Jesus like? You know, as you look at this, how many of you, you know, you kind of look at Jesus' life and, you know, he was a loving guy and a compassionate guy and a caring guy and a gentle guy. He was patient, you know, kindness. We can kind of go through all of these. Matter of fact, I can mention nine of them because it's called the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I've often tried to define, well, what does it mean to be like God? You know, I want to be like God. I want to be like Christ. And we have this image out here, and I finally defined it. It's being those nine things: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. We can go through all those things. There's nine of those qualities, and God wants us to be like Jesus. Now, we're not going to be God. Now, I know there's some people out there that teach you can be a God. I got bad news for you. You cannot be God, and just in case you don't know that yet, you might tell your spouse you are not God, all right? All right, there is no one in here that's God, all right? If you had a boyfriend, he thinks he's God, he's got trouble, all right? Yeah. There's nobody like God. Nobody God, but we can be like him. We can begin to take on the characteristics of God, and that's what he wants. He wants us to be, well, like father, like son. You ever hear statements like that? See, that's what God wants us to become. He has these qualities he wants us to become. And so I put it this way, my third calling in life is to become like Christ. That's my goal. That's my purpose. That's where I'm going. I want to be like Christ. I'm going to ask you, would this world be a better place if everybody was like Christ? If everybody was loving and gentle and kind and patient? If everybody was joyful and peaceful? Well, that's what God designed, and that's what God wants for us. And he set this up for us. He wants us to be like that. Now, I've got this challenge for you is, if you're like me, I'm going to tell you something. Woo, that's hard. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not there. All right, I have battles. I went to San Francisco yesterday. Do not ask Laura about my driving in San Francisco. All right, we did. It was horrible over there. I don't know why everybody thought about going to the wharf yesterday. I don't get it. It was cold and windy over there. But they were there. Yeah. And that patience was not part of my fruit yesterday. If there was a fruit inspector yesterday, I would have been in trouble, all right? Because it wasn't there. But these are the qualities that we have and that we desire that God wants us to become. I like that word become because it doesn't say I've arrived. I am not mature. I am maturing. Does that make sense? And that's what God wants us to do, that we're in this battle to become like him. Not God, but like God. Not like a God, but like Jesus Christ. And that's what he's called us to become, and that's our challenge. But I want to tell you, it's not going to happen overnight. And the Bible has this great picture. The Bible paints very many pictures about how to do this. And one of the pictures is that Paul and others talked about a race. That the life is like a race. Now, it's not like a 50-yard dash. It's like a marathon race. It's a long race. I've been a Christian now. I was kind of looking over things. I've been a Christian now for like 32 years. I think it's, no, 42 years. I don't know. It's been a long time. I'm not there. I'm not there. See, and how do we do this? It's a long race. And it's a challenge. So I put it this way. To run the marathon to maturity, I must. There's some qualities. And so there's five passages I want to look at, and there's eight principles I want you to gain this morning. Here's some things that will help you run this race. Here's some things that will help you begin to look more like God. Because it's not an easy race. It's a long race. And so you look at this here. I want you to look at this. It's set out like this. Simplify my life. I've never run a marathon, just so you know, I do not intend to run a marathon, all right? I have no intention on running a marathon. I might like to do a 3K, or is it a 5K? 5K, all right. Maybe 3K sounds even better, all right? Yeah. But I'm not going to run a marathon, but I've watched some people, you know, I've seen some outtakes and some pictures of marathon runners. You know, and you don't see a marathon runner saying, okay, I'm getting ready to run, get my backpack, throw my backpack on, you know, and get my boots laced up, and I'm getting ready to run a marathon, you know. They don't do that when they're going to run a marathon. You watch these marathon runners, they got these skimpy little shorts, which I wouldn't wear either, all right? All right, they got these skimpy little shorts and these light little shirts and these lightweight tennis shoes, and they go out to run. See, they simplify everything. You're not going to watch them run with a backpack and a parka on. Okay, I'm ready to run my marathon. You know, as our lives, we need to understand that there's some things in our life we need to simplify our lives. How many here have a busy life? Anybody got a busy life? I mean, you're running around all the time, places to go, people to see, things to do. All right? I was not home one night last week. Anybody? I had meetings every day of the week. Anybody? How do we simplify our lives? And so what I'm going to tell you and what we got to look at here, I'm going to be real simple. You got to cut out some things. If you want to be different than the rest of the world, you got to act different than the rest of the world. You can't do what everybody else is doing and be who God called you to be. You can't try to fit in and take all the character and be all those kind of things and try to make everybody happy and try to fit in with everybody. It just doesn't work. Look what the scripture says. Let us strip off anything, circle that word, anything that slows you down. Cut out, throw out, get rid of, discard all that junk in your life. You know? What kind of things are wasting your time? I remember when I preached a sermon not too long ago, and it just keeps coming back to me. How much time, you know, I'll watch the news, I'll read the news on the internet, I'll do all of that. And I'll spend more time doing things I really don't believe in. I don't really trust the news. Anybody? I don't always believe everything I read on the internet. And I watch that more than I read the Bible. Anybody? You know, sometimes we got to throw this stuff off. We got to put these things aside. You know, and we got to get rid of anything that gets in your way of becoming like Christ, whatever it is. You know, there are some people that have a problem because there is a football game on today. Can that get in the way of becoming like Christ? Now, I got a DVR. I'm going to tell Laura and I, because we're gone all the time, there's shows I like watching. I don't know, I'm getting into this thing called Duck Dynasty. All right? I'm never home to watch Duck Dynasty, but we record them. Yeah, that's what those DVR, God blessed us with DVRs. That's a blessing. Yeah. But anything that hinders us from becoming like Christ, good things, it doesn't mean bad things. See, part of the battle, I think, is there's good, there's better, and there's best. And a lot of times we get involved with the good that we miss the best. Yeah. And he says, get rid of anything. Let us strip away anything that slows us down or holds us back. And then he goes, especially those sins. I'm not even talking about sin yet. Now let's talk about sin. You know, there's nothing wrong with watching Duck Dynasty. There's nothing wrong with watching football, NASCAR, watching baseball. Although I wish the Dodgers were there. Some of you wish the Giants were there. I'm sorry, but I take the Dodgers. You know, there's nothing wrong with watching sports. But if it gets in the way, if it becomes a stumbling block, if it's holding you back, then there becomes an issue. And he's saying, listen, you've got to simplify your life. Most of us live crazy lives. I feel I am. Just so much and so many things to do and so many things to go on. And we got to simplify and cut out some things. Maybe our schedule, our time, maybe some relationships that are dragging us down. Yeah. It's a marathon and it's a long race that we got to step back and get a part of. And then he goes on. The sins that wrap themselves so tightly around your feet that they trip us up. You know, I'll let you name your own sin. I'm not going to name your own sin. I got my own. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Now, I circled that. I made that bold. I want you to circle a particular race because kind of as we set this tone here, I want to tell you, God has a race he wants you to run. All right? God has a race for you. Now, there are people who want you to run their race, all right? Anybody got a job, you got a boss that wants you to run the race he wants you to run. If you got a boyfriend, you got a girlfriend, they got a race they want you to run. If you got a husband or a spouse or a wife, they got a race they want you to run. They got it. Here's who I want you to be. Here's who I want you to be. Here's who you need to become. And they define who you become. Matter of fact, I got good news for you. You probably have a dream you wanted to become. How many of you had something when you were 8, 9 years old that says, I wanted to be? Now, you know, most of the time it's boys or firemen, yeah. Policemen. Yeah. I was a boy. I don't know what girls wanted to be when they're 8 or 9. Married, maybe. I don't know. They always dream of their wedding dresses. Yeah. But we had this dream. And you might have a dream still of your own life. I've got these plans. I got news for you. Here's the thing. You got a particular race that God wants you to run, and you got to run that race. You can't run your race, and you can't run somebody else's race. You can only pick one race to run, and it's your choice. I look in our world, and I see a lot of people running their own race. It's a race for money. It's a race for prestige. It's a race for position. It's a race for whatever they want, these dreams that they have, the bigger home, the newer car, whatever it is. They're racing through life to get these things. And in the midst of that race, who are they becoming? I'm going to tell you something. You become what you pursue. And if you pursue those things, that's what you become. And so I want to tell you, if we look at this race, that God has a race for you. Here's what this 40-day thing's all about for me. And I want you to get this picture. That God loved you. Even before you were born, he designed who you are. You have gifts. You have skills. You have talents. Different. Unique. You are like nobody else. It's like that snowflake that they talk about that's so unique. Every one of us is. And that God loves you, and he wants you to be part of his family. And then he wants you to become like Christ and be who he created you to be. Not what somebody else has an image of for you. You know, no parent, no neighbor, no friend, no boss, no spouse, but who God wants you to be. Gifted the way you're gifted and used in your life. Your particular race, you got to run your race. Simplify your life and run your race, whatever that race is that God has for you. And that's a challenge. So that's the first marathon race you got to do. You got to just strip off all those things. Get rid of the junk. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the garbage in your life so that you can pursue God in this marathon race. The second one I put down here, don't get impatient or in a hurry. Now, this is where I struggle. I want things yesterday. Anybody? I want it done. I want to move on. I want to, I've been a Christian now 42 years. I should be further along. Anybody? You know, I want to do more for God. I want this. We need to understand we got to slow down. It's a marathon. You ever watch little kids run? I think it's fun to watch little kids run. They're going to run around the track like 3 times. You say, you get like a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, you say, go. How fast do they run? They run as fast as they can. By about the 3rd lap, what are they doing? They're walking. They started out like a flash. What I want to tell you as Christians, we're in for the long run. Too many Christians start out like a flash in a pan. You know, they're just, whew, and then all of a sudden they just burn out. Now, we do grow faster in the beginning as Christians. That excitement, that joy, you know, those first couple of months of being a Christian, that first couple of months of growing in Christ, that first couple of years of going in Christ, you're making leaps and bounds and you're just growing. You know, it's like a baby. When a baby's first born, man, they put on weight pretty quick. But as they get older, does it slow down? You know, if I put on weight like I did when I was a baby, I'd be in big trouble. You'd be rolling me in and out of here. See, we start out fast, but we got to understand, we got to pace ourselves as Christians. It's a long race. Look at what God's word says. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Patience, pace ourselves. Slow down. It takes time. We're in here for the long run. You know, if you want a mushroom, I've been having mushrooms in my yard. Anybody been getting ready? I don't know why. All of a sudden, mushrooms started popping up in my yard. In one night. I walk out, and all of a sudden, there's a mushroom. You want a mushroom, 6 hours, you got a mushroom. I want an oak tree in my yard. It's going to take about, 60 years? Yeah. What do you want to be? You want to be a mushroom, or you want to be an oak tree? Rooted, standing strong, deep, hanging in there. Life's going to throw things at you, and are you going to be able to stand up to that? See, we need to understand we got to slow down and realize it's not a flash in the pan. It's one step at a time. I grew up during the space race. I grew up watching men go to the moon and watching how it all started. I was really into that in the 60s and watching all the news. And I remember sitting up late watching when they landed on the moon and watching them walk on the moon. I watched all that. But what was interesting is you watch that experience. You know what they first did? The first thing was a rocket went up and it went down in the ocean. That was it. Man, we're on our way to the moon. You sure? Yeah. Pretty soon it goes up and it goes around the world. Yeah. Then somebody gets out and walks around the world. Yeah. Then they go up and they circle the moon. Finally, somebody lands on the moon and walks out. But it was a step-by-step-by-step process. It took a long time. Remember President Kennedy? Anybody remember President Kennedy? That before the end of the decade, we'll land a man on the moon. We need to see our Christian life that way. That we see our lives as decades and not days or weeks or months. Sometimes I look at my life and, you know, it's like, man, I've just not grown. But then you look back. You ever raise your kids and you have your kids line up against the wall and you put a pencil mark, anybody? You know, and as they grow up, you know, you don't realize how far they're growing. I remember when our son, Jeremiah, he didn't grow very much as he was growing up. Goes into like 6th, 7th grade, somewhere in the middle school years. And all of a sudden, one year, he shot up like 6 inches. You know, and we didn't really notice it until his pants was around his ankles, you know. Yeah. We as Christians need to see we're in a process. That's a word I like. Process of becoming like Christ. So I got to be patient. I can't get in a hurry. Things aren't going to happen overnight. You know, it's going to take some time. I remember when I surrendered to the ministry. I'd become a Christian about 2 years later. I feel God call me to be a pastor, calls me to preach and to be a pastor. And so I start going to school, and I hated school, and God changed that in my life. And go to junior college, go off to college. I'm down in college. I'm meeting other kids who are starting to be pastors, and some of them are pastoring churches. And it's like, okay, I want a pastor. I got to learn some way, sometime, I want a pastor. So here I am, you know, so it's been 3 years. I felt God call me to preach. So it's been 3 years and I haven't pastored a church. It's been 4 years. Been 5 years. And I'm graduating college with guys, and they've been some of my friends have been pastoring churches, and they're getting ready to go up to Golden Gate Seminary, and I'm going up there, and it's like, okay, my plan is I'll go up to seminary, I'll start looking, and I'll find a church where I can pastor and preach and grow and learn. And so I go up to seminary. So I go through my first year at seminary, looking for a church and trying to find a place to minister and serve and be a part of, and nothing happens the first year. And it's like, God, you call me to preach. I'm going where you call me to do. You know, I went through college. I'm going through college. Now I'm working on my master's. I'm following your will. I'm following your plan. There's no doubt I'm where God wants me to be, but why can't I my friends are pastoring churches. Why can't I pastor a church? Another year goes by. Nothing. Finally, a friend of mine I went to college with, he's pastoring up here outside of Lodi. He goes, listen, I'm getting ready to go on vacation, and I need somebody to preach for me. Can you preach for me? It's like, yeah, I finally get to preach. And so I go and preach at his church for 2 weeks, and from that point on, I've been preaching ever since. And I look back on it, I was ready, but it took 7 years. 7 years before I really started to preach and get into the ministry. And it's like, God, why my friends and why not me? Anybody wrestle with things like that in your life? Why are my friends getting their breaks and how come I'm not getting any breaks? And we get in a hurry. We want things to turn around quick. But we need to slow down. Don't get impatient or in a hurry. Do you see the picture? If you're going to be who mature, you're going to be who become like Christ, you have to simplify your life and be a little patient and don't rush through it. Let's go on to the next one. Spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Now, I'm going to be real good here. A little bit of time, all right? I'm not asking you to give me 10 hours. I'm not asking you to give God 5 hours, I'm not asking you to give God 2 hours. I'm not asking you to give God 1 hour. I'm saying maybe you need to start with 15 minutes to spend with God. That's it. You know, you may just start with 5. I don't care. But take some time for God. Spend some time focusing on God. Because what you focus on is where you're going to go. The direction you're going to go. Now I'm going to tell you, this is hard. When I was going to college, you know what my focus was? College. Yeah, I read my Bible and, you know, that was supplemental. Now it's a priority, but it was supplemental when I was going to college. But now it's focused. You need to at least take 5 minutes a day to spend with God. Now, it's real simple. I'm going to make this as simple as I can. And, you know, focusing on God, it's real easy. Get a Bible. All right? If you don't have a Bible, there's some out in the foyer out there. You can get them on the bottom shelf. There's New Testaments out there. You can just take one of those and start with Matthew. Real easy. Get a Bible. Open it up and read. 5 minutes. All right? That's it. Just sit down and read what God's Word says. Just spend a few minutes reading. And then after you get done reading, talk to God. Yes? Talk to God. God, I'm worried. God, I'm stressed. God, I need some help. I was praying for help this morning when I was walking around. You know, it's funny that I'm sitting there going, God, you know, I haven't asked for very much. You know, it's that very much. You know, and I was talking with God. You know, God, I had some needs I was laying out before God this morning, along with other things I was praying for. But simply open your Bible, read a Bible, talk to God, and then here's the next. This one's really simple. Be quiet. Just be quiet. Don't say a word. Don't say anything. And just let God speak. You know, silence. And let God. That's all. You know, here's the word. I'm going to give you the religious word or the Bible word or I don't know. Here's the word. It's called quiet time. You ever hear anybody talk about quiet time? It's time with God. They call it quiet time. A Bible for just a few minutes. Talk to God for a few minutes. And listen to God for a few minutes. It's not very hard. Focus on God. Spend some time focusing on God. Look at what it says. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. Just spend some time focusing on God. Spend some time listening to God. Spend some time talking with God. Focus on Him. Because I'm going to tell you, whatever you focus on is the direction you're going to go. Anybody ever drive? Anybody when you're driving, you ever notice whichever way you look is the way the car is going to go? You know, you look over your shoulder like this. Or you look over your shoulder like this. Anybody? You ever see people go down the road, they look like this now? Whatever way you focus on is the way you're going to go in your life too, just like your car. I mean, it's funny. You look and it's like, for some reason, you just kind of naturally, you know, that's going to happen in our lives. You need to focus on, you're running a marathon race. You got to focus on God. You got to focus on Jesus and see what He says. Jesus did it. Look what Jesus did. Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives, as He often did. Circle that. Jesus often went out to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples went with Him. When they got there, He told them, pray that you won't be tested. It was a habit. He had spent a habit of going out to the garden to pray. Now, get a place to pray. Get a place where you have, you know, have a place. You know, if it's your dining room table, leave your Bible on the dining room table. Get up, get your coffee, sit down, pull the Bible over, read it, slip your coffee, eat a couple of donuts. That sounds good. Yeah. Talk to God. Listen to God, then push your Bible back out. Leave it right there. Get up the next morning, go out there and push it. If you got a lounge chair, you got one of those reclining lazy boys, put it next to your lazy boy. Wherever you want to spend time with God, have it set up. I'll give you an idea, though. Read your Bible. And when you pray, just you don't have to close your eyes, okay? It's not necessary to close your eyes to talk to God. Because when you close your eyes, you might fall asleep, okay? So don't worry about closing your eyes. I'll give you another hint. Pray out loud. Just pray out loud. It's you and God. Pray out loud. I do that many times. Not all the time. I'll be honest. Not all the time. But I pray out loud. You know, God. Ah, rah, 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 rah. Especially when I'm in trouble. All right? But pray out loud. So you might not want to do this at Starbucks. They'll think you're whacked, okay? Yeah. But find a place that's your place for you and God. I'm going to tell you, I enjoy coming down here during the week and going into this prayer room, and we put the old, there's a what was called a kneeling bench. It's called an altar. And I go in that room, and I don't have to get on my knees. The Bible doesn't get on your knees and pray every time, but I like doing that. The other day, I went in there, I got on my knees, and I just go, God, I don't have anything to say. I'm just going to be here. I just felt like being there. I didn't feel like, the other time, a few weeks ago, I've been there whining to God. Oh, God. But there's a place. Where's your place that you have for you and God? Because when you're with God, something happens. My prayer, and you can ask our worship team, we pray over here in that prayer room before the worship team comes out. And my prayer every time is that when we stand before you, when they're standing before you, they will see something different, that you will see something different in them, that you will see God in them. That you'll see God in the words of the songs we sing, that you'll hear God in the words that we share in his scriptures this morning. Because that's my prayer, that you'll look past Gary and you'll see God. Because I want to become like him. I'm not there. But I want to become like him. I want to be who he is. Look at what it says here. Let all of us that had veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. We become more and more. Why don't you circle more and more? Because we're not there. We're becoming more and more like him. All right? You cannot become like Christ unless you focus on him. You cannot become who God created you to be unless you focus on him. It's not going to happen. Just spending some time with him, a few minutes with him every day. The more time you take with him, I'll give you a hint, the more you're going to be like him. So you might start out with 5 minutes, and pretty soon you're going 15, and pretty soon you're going 25, 30. And I'm going to tell you, you do not measure somebody's spirituality by how much time they spend in their quiet time. It's how much time we become more and more like him. And that's the calling, that we need to be like him. Simplify our lives. Don't get in a hurry. Don't rush around. And then spend some time focusing on him. It's a race. It's a long race. Let's go on. When it gets hard, remember the reward. I couldn't wait to get to this point. This is my favorite point in the message. I'll tell you right now, this is my favorite point in the message. Life stinks sometimes. Anybody? Life hurts sometimes. Life's hard sometimes. Life is difficult sometimes. We're going to have those things in our life. This world is not an easy place to live. There's battles all around. There's financial battles. There's relationship battles. There's emotional battles. There's family battles. I can just go on and on. There's battles in our lives. And we need to understand life's going to be hard. And we'll want to give up. Is it worth it? Why should I go on? Where's God? Have you ever been there? Now, I'm going to be honest. I've been there. It's like, God, I'm serving you. I'm doing everything you asked for me. And I'm not getting ahead. And nothing's happening. And what's going on? Anybody been in that boat? It's just like, is it really worth it? And what we need to understand, and what I'm saying here, it's a long race. So we got to remember there's a finish line. There's an end. Let's remember the reward. Look at what it says here. Jesus said, do not give up because of the cross. Don't give up because it's hard. Don't give up because life is difficulty. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now seated at the right side of God's throne, thinking of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourself become discouraged and give up. Listen, Jesus was misunderstood. Jesus was criticized. Jesus was attacked. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was lonely. Jesus had all this, and yet he kept his eyes. Anybody ever experienced those kind of, anybody ever experienced loneliness? Anybody ever feel betrayal? Experience misunderstanding? Yeah. Just like Jesus, we go through these things, so we got to keep looking towards the reward. Life is not over. We got to keep looking past all these things. I like this next verse. After you suffer for a short time, circle that. Short time. Short time. It may seem like a long time, but it really is a short time. When you step back and realize this earthly life is just a small sliver of eternity. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years sounds like a lot. But when you start talking about 1,000 years of eternity with Jesus, even 100 years isn't much. When you start talking about 2,000, 5,000 years in heaven, 100 years isn't much. See, it's saying, listen, there's a short time. Yes, it's hard. And it seems like an eternity. You know what's so hard? Sometimes this earthly life seems like an eternity. But there really is an eternity. He goes on. He gives all grace, will make everything right. He will make you strong and support you and keep you from falling. He called you, we got that word calling again, to share his glory in Christ, a glory that will continue forever. Yes, there's sadness, and yes, there's sorrow, and yes, there's sickness, and yes, there's battles, and yes, there's burdens. And there's only one place where that doesn't exist, and it's called heaven. There's no more sadness and no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more disease. A place of peace, a place of rest. And the only way to get there is to go through this life. And what he's saying is, listen, it's only a short time. Hang in there. And what's amazing is that God uses those things to help us become. You know, I learned the most through my trials, through my struggles. You know, my best PE teacher was my meanest PE teacher. Anybody? My meanest PE teacher. No mercy. We're going to do this. You're going to do 100 push-ups. I can't do 100. You're going to do 100 push-ups. Guess what? By the end of class, I could do 100 push-ups. You know, climb the rope. Anybody remember climbing the rope? Anybody remember climbing the rope in PE? I never could do that. When I got done with his class, I did it. Yeah. The hardest things was used to make me accomplish. And that's what God does. God uses those things in our lives to make us who he wants us to be. It's part of that process. Look at what it says. Since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his son, Christ, is ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. There's going to be some tough times in this world. We're all going to be there. Maybe right now, you know what? Let me say this. Maybe right now life is going really good for you. Maybe life, it's just running really smooth. Things look nice. Things are running really smooth. I got news for you. I'm going to pop your bubble. Hard times are coming. All right? Now, if you're having hard times right now, and you're struggling right now, and there's battles right now, I got news for you. Good times are coming. That's life. So keep looking for that reward in heaven. Keep moving forward to that reward in heaven. There's a world beyond this world. There's a better world. No sickness, no sadness, no sorrow. Beautiful peace and rest that God has for us. See, we're running a marathon. Remember, it's hard. But there's a finish line. I just can't imagine running 21 miles, 23 miles, whatever it is. 26 miles? Oh, good. I'm glad somebody knows. Because I'm not running it, all right? Yeah. That's a challenge. It's a long race, but there's a reward at the end. In all things, God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's a good verse. Now, I always point out as I read that verse, God does not turn things good. Bad things are always bad, all right? Remember that. Bad things are bad. They do not become good. But God can take those bad things and use them for something good in your life. That's what that verse says. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that are tragic. But it's bad still. But God wants to use it for good. That verse is so good, guess what? That's your memory verse. You guys are on it. We'll get to it at the end. I'll make sure you guys do it at the end. That's our memory verse. Let's go on. If you're going to run the race, you got to gather a team to run with. Gather a team to run with me. You don't have to do this alone. You gather a team, gather some people to run with. You're not on this alone. Let's look at the scripture. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. I circled that word spur. Now, when I hear that word spur, I go back to cowboys and Indians. All right? Cowboys wore those spurs on their cowboy boots. You know, and they want their horse to go, so it's like, shh, shh. Well, I wonder if sometimes do you ever feel like God's spiking you? Yeah. We need to spur one another on. We need to encourage one another. We need to inspire. We need to bless. That's what he's saying. Let us consider how we may bless one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Circle that one. As some are in the habit. I guess some people are already starting to cut church. Even back there, even though football wasn't on. But let us encourage one another as you see the day approaching. We need to be there for one another. You need that safe place. I'm going to come back. You need church. You need a small group. You need those people around you. I'm going to be honest. Don't get around a bunch of people who are critical. Don't get around a bunch of people who have no ambition. You ever worry when you're raising kids who your kids run with? Anybody worry about who your kids run with? What about the people you run with? You know, what about the people you hang with? Are they the right kind of people? Are they going to encourage you to be better? Are they going to encourage you to be the best? Are they going to encourage you to be more than who you are? What do they encourage you to do? I've told people many times who are getting out of the drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff, you might have to change friends. You might have to get some new friends. That's what church is about. Why do you think belong to a church, belong to a small group? Why do you think God says that? Because we need one another. We need that place. We need that safety that we have in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, find that place. Yeah, that's what I hope this church is. You know, here's my prayer. My prayer is these next 2 points really fit well, that you can come in and you can find strength and encouragement. You find somebody who put their arm around you and somebody who's going to bless you and say, we can do this and we can make it through this and we can make this happen. That's what I want this church to be, a place that inspires to move on. I have this statement, you know, when you come to church, come as you are, but don't stay that way. Come with how you are, whatever's going on, whatever's happening, but let's get this together and let's move on beyond these things. Let's move on beyond who we are. And so gather a team around you. Who's your team? I'm going to ask you, who's your team? Who's standing with you when things get hard, when things get tough, when things go wrong? Who's standing with you? Who's going to put their arm around you and say, hey, we can do this? You know, you're not here by yourself. We're in this together. Who's there for you? Gather a team that's going to encourage you and inspire you. Let's go on. Remember, God is cheering me at every stage. That's why I like these last. These are two good points, not the last. We still got two to go. I got to hurry up. God's cheering you on. I think sometimes most of us look at God and we think God's going to cheer us when we get to the end. Yeah. I watched people and we were, I forget what I was at. I think my daughter was running a cross country. And we went up to Knight's Ferry. Some of us were up there at Knight's Ferry watching our kids run cross country. And we sat there watching them. And when did we cheer for our kids? When did I cheer for my granddaughter? Okay, I'm going to wait until she crosses the line. Go. Bye. I was yelling, go, go, go. You know, when they took off, they ran one way, and then they come back by and run by again. I'm sitting there, bye. No, go, 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 go. Run up the hill and run back. I'm yelling, go. She's way up the hill, and I'm yelling, go, because I got a voice that can carry, so I'm yelling. Yeah. I think we need to see God that way. I don't think we see God sitting there saying, go, go, go. Yeah, you're slow. Yeah, you're not winning. Yeah, you're not in the front. Yeah, you're not the first, but go, I'm here for you. Go, go. I don't think we see God cheering us on. You know, we read a passage of the scripture that says, the angels in heaven rejoice over one person who repents. Anybody read that scripture? There's a great scripture that says that. But you know what? I think God rejoices every day somebody walks through this door every Sunday. I think God says, yes, yes. They gave football up today. I don't know why I'm hung up on football. Yeah. Soccer? Forget it. But I think God cheers us on. You know, How many of us have children or grandchildren? And your kid, how many of you, your kid brought you a page and they just basically had a circle and, I don't know, a bunch of marks on the page. You can't make out what it is. You know, it's like, well, it's supposed to be a picture of you. Oh, okay. What'd you tell that kid? Ah, you got to do better. No, man, that was awesome artwork. It's hanging on the refrigerator, right? Come on, you got grandkids, you hang, I don't care what it looks like, you hang it on the refrigerator. I think God sees that in us. It's like, well, when you get big as a Christian, when you do this as a Christian, God's going to rejoice. I want to tell you, God rejoices over every day in your life. God cheers you on every day in your life. Those little hurdles, those little things that go on, when you get up in the morning, you spend 5 minutes with God, then thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. Good to see you this morning. Good to hear from you this morning. Man, let's have a great day today. God cheers you on 5 minutes, 2 minutes. We look at God and well, when I cross the line and go to heaven, God's going to rejoice. I'm going to tell you, God's rejoicing today for you. And we need to see that God's cheering us on and he's encouraging us and he's motivating us. And, you know, part of the problem, look at what it says here. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. Okay, let me back up for a minute. This is Paul, okay? Now, Paul, the apostle in the scriptures here, started most of the new churches that existed, all right? He was going around starting churches all over the place, all right? He was a church planter of church planters. Churches everywhere, boat wrecked, beaten, whipped. He still kept starting churches, all right? Paul wrote most of the New Testament, all right? Most of that book, the New Testament, Paul wrote it. Now, I want you to hear what he's saying. Now, listen, here's this guy who would be, we would say, a monster spiritual leader. He would be on top of the top of the top of the Christian heap. Listen to what he says. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. Paul's sitting there saying, I'm not there yet. I mean, if anybody could say they're there yet, I would say Paul could. But Paul's saying, I'm not there, that I have already reached perfection. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. I am still not all I should be, but I'm focusing on all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to the future that lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me up to heaven. Calling again, man, that word calling is all over there. Calling, our purpose to be like Christ. And God is cheering us on, and we're not there, and nobody's perfect, and God is cheering us on. I'm going to tell you, you know, as we watched, if my daughter or granddaughter was running that race, if she had fell during the midst of that race, ah, that stupid kid. Is that what I would have said? Do you think I would have done? Ah, man, you can't run, you two left feet. I would have been there, get up, come on, you can do it. What about us as Christians? I don't know about you, but sometimes I fall. I have failures. I have faults. You think God said, oh, you stupid Gary, you did it again. I think God said, come on, let's get up. Let's get back on our feet. I always say this. You know, I was telling somebody this morning. You know, if I fall on my face, at least I know I'm going in the right direction. That's the best I can do. See, God cheers us on. Do you see God cheering you on? I wanted to give you a picture this morning when you walk out here that God's going to cheer you on as you walk into that race that's out there in this building. That God's going to pat you on the back. That God's going to give you a hug and say, let's go. Let's go. I'm in this with you. You're not alone. We're going to make this work. We're going to get through this. Let's take this and make this happen. God is cheering us on. He's not there to criticize us. Let's go on. Boy, two more real quick. Take every step with purpose. Take every step with purpose. Don't waste my steps. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your words. Every step counts. Every step. Don't get distracted. Don't take shortcuts. Look at what it says. All athletes practice strict self-control. Now, if I was to decide to run a marathon, I would have to do some things on purpose, wouldn't I? It couldn't be, well, you know what? There's a marathon tomorrow. I think I'm going to go run it. You guys would all start laughing at me, right? You go, there goes crazy Gary again. If I was going to run a marathon, I'd have to have some self-control, some discipline. I'd have to start working out a little bit. You know, start running a little bit. And that's what he's talking about here. If you're going to run God's race, you got to be on purpose. Everything has to count. You have to have that discipline. You have to have those purposes, self-control. They do not win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with a purpose in every step. Circle that, purpose in every step. Know where you're going. Go that way. I'm not like a boxer who misses with his punches. When I was at school going to college, I had to pay for each college. Anybody go to college? You pay for your classes, right? You know, you pay for each class you take. I made sure I was taking only the classes I had to take. I didn't want to waste my money on classes. You know, I was on purpose. Okay, I need this one. I need this one. I need this one. I need this. I don't need this. I got aggravated when I went down to college. I didn't even take a government class, and I didn't need it because I already had my AA. It's like, oh, I wasted that money. You know, purpose. Purpose. Everything with a purpose. I'm going somewhere. Look at what it says. Lift up your tired hands then and strengthen your trembling knees. Keep walking on a straight path. Circle that one. So that your lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. We need a straight path, not a crooked path. Stay on the straight way. Do the right thing. Here's the straight path. I can tell you the straight path right here. It's your Bible. That's the straight path. But what caught my attention as I read that verse, so that your lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. Everyone has a lame foot. See, every one of us have an issue. Every one of us has a problem. Every one of us have a struggle. Even though we're on a straight path, even though we're trying to stay off the crooked way and go on that straight path, there's things that make us lame. There's emotional battles that can make us lame. There's relationships that can make us lame and make us walk with a limp as we try to be like God. You ever have that? I want to be more like God. I want to be more like God. And yet you got something holding you back, that lame. You know, there's financial issues. You know, God, I want to be all you want, but I got to do this and I got to do this. I'm in this marriage. I got this. And we have all these things that can stop us. And I like this picture. He's saying, listen, stay on this straight path. Yes, there's problems in your life. Yes, there's struggles in your life. Yes, there's battles in your life. Yes, there's burdens in your life. Yes, there's financial issues. Yes, there's relationship issues. Yes, there's physical issues. Yes, there's, but stay on the straight path because in the end, you will be healed. See, I got good news. You know, when I walk into heaven, I'm going to be complete. I'll have that six pack. You know, I can run the marathon when I get to heaven. All right. See, I won't be lame. I won't be imperfect anymore. I don't know if I will, but I don't even know if I want to. But see, we need to see that image in us. And we got to go on purpose. I'm going to ask you, where are you purposefully going right now? Where is your life taking you right now? Do you have a purpose? Become like Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Just go right on down the list. Becoming like Christ. It's a challenge. Yes, you're going to have a limp, but keep going. The last point. Realize that what I don't finish, God will. You know what? When I die, I'm still not going to be perfect. All right? When I die, I will not be perfect. I got news for you. No matter how hard you work on it, when you die, you ain't going to be perfect either. None of us will. But you know what? When I die, God will finish what he started. I will be who God created me. Look at what it says. I am sure that God who began a good work with you will continue his work until it is finally finished. On that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. You get two choices. Either I die or Jesus comes back, and whatever day that is, I'm going to be finished. I'll be complete. I'll be the perfect image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I won't be God, but I'll be like him. I'll have all that quality that God has in my life. See, I can't finish it, but God can finish it in me. Dear friends, look at the scripture. We are already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Jesus returns. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. See, this is a day when it would be finished. I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. So are you. Will you become like Christ? Would that be your purpose? Would that be your calling? See, you were calling to be loved. That God just wants to love you. That's all. Just be loved by God. And when you return that love, it's called worship. So you called to be loved. And now you're called to belong. Just belong. Find that family. I want this to be a family where you come in and we're going to cheer you on. Yeah, we're going to fall. Yeah, you might stumble. Yeah, you might walk through that door and it might have had a tragic week and you might have slid back and God might have been trying to pull you back. You know, temptation has got you. But you walk through that door. We're here to pick you up and bind you up and walk with you to go. We're going to get through this. You're not here by yourself. There's battles out there that we all face. This world is a cruel world. And I want this to be a place where you belong. And then when you're belonging, you can become. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. You know, come and be who God created you to be. And I want to challenge you. Who are you becoming? Do you like where you're going? Are you happy on the path you're on? Do you realize you're in a marathon? It's not going to end today. It's a long race. Do you need to simplify your life? Do you need to get a team around you? Do you need to serve God? This is your time. I want to challenge you. But I want to challenge you with this verse as we close. Look at this verse. Memory verse. This is four. One, two, three, four. All right? I am your creator. You're in my care even. All right. Some of you guys have got it good. All right. Number two was Romans 6:13, right? Right? Give yourself completely to God since you have been given new life. Man, you guys are good. Well, I have to go over all of them. All of them. Yeah. Number three, you belong to the family of God. I started that out wrong. You are members, right? You belong to the family of God. You are members of his household with every other Christian. See, I got it. Ephesians 2:19. Today, are you guys ready? Remember what we do. You say the reference, you say the verse, you say the reference. All right, here we go. Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I didn't hear that very good. All right, so we got to do it again so I can hear you, all right? I want to hear you. You ready? Let me cough. All right, here we go. Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. All right, God is working in your life. He's cheering you on. You get in a team. Simplify your life. Don't get in a hurry. Don't be impatient. Run the good race and let God cheer you on. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words. But above all, I thank you for Jesus, that you love us so much that you sent him. Lord, I want to pray that we'll see our life and peel off those things and set aside those things that are hindering us, that we can simplify our life, Lord, that we can focus just a few minutes every day on you, that we keep our eyes on the finish line, that we run the race with others. I pray everyone here has a team, Lord, that everyone here has a family, that everyone's part of what you're doing. Help us take each step on purpose. Help us find the joy in serving you as you rejoice. And guide us to the finish, that you may complete what you've started. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.